You know that incredibly frustrating moment when you just glance at your smartphone in the middle of the afternoon and the battery icon is sitting there confidently at like 80%.
Oh, yeah. And you think you're totally fine for the rest of the day.
Right, you think you're fine. And then you try to open, I don't know, a single web page and the screen just instantly goes black.
Just completely dies.
Completely dies. And you're just left there staring at your own reflection in this dead screen, wondering how a device that claimed to have plenty of juice just, completely gave up on you.
It's basically that classic phantom battery drain. I mean, we tend to assume that if we aren't actively doing something really demanding, like editing a massive 4K video or playing some heavy game, that our battery should just be fine.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
we forget about the hidden layer, right? It's the, 42 different apps just running in the background,
Silently draining it.
silently syncing data, constantly pinging cell towers for a better signal, tracking your location, and they're just bleeding that battery dry, literally one invisible percentage point at a time.
Well, if you're listening to this right now and, nodding because your phone died on you yesterday, consider this. Your own personal energy operates on the exact same hidden mechanics. And so today's deep dive is going to treat basically your psychological battery life with that same level of diagnostic scrutiny. We're unpacking a really highly specific, deeply personal document today.
It's a fascinating one.
It really is. It's this set of reflection and coaching notes, and they're titled Brian Withers Meeting Session 304, dated April 24, 2026. And our mission today is to explore this concept within these notes called vibrational stability, which is essentially the mechanics of maintaining your inner peace when travel fatigue or broken routines or just the endless paper cuts of interpersonal conflict are all running like those background apps, right? You're just trying to drag your personal battery down to zero.
And what makes this particular source document so valuable is that it's not, well, it isn't some polished theoretical textbook on mindfulness.
No, not at all.
It reads like a raw, real-time diagnostic log from someone who is actively trying to troubleshoot their own, like, internal operating system.
Yeah.
The author is clearly highly ambitious, but they're hitting a wall. And by breaking down their personal friction points, we can actually extract some highly actionable universal principles for, managing our own cognitive overhead.
I want to start right where the notes start, actually, with this brutal struggle that I think anyone who juggles like high ambitions with physical reality has
A
faced.
productivity paradox.
Yes, the productivity paradox. The notes detail this sudden disruption in the author's schedule. Like they mentioned this really desperate need for a, quote, recovery system after travel. Because when they're in their normal routine, their momentum is totally fine. But you throw a trip in there, interrupt the schedule, and suddenly the body is just demanding rest.
And notice the immediate psychological fallout that the notes describe there. I mean, the physical fatigue is one thing, but the author documents this profound feeling of inadequacy that follows it.
Yeah, guilt.
Exactly. Because the routine is broken, they suddenly feel less productive. The core conflict established right at the beginning of the text is this fundamental disconnect between the brain and the body. The mind is signaling go, 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 but the physiological system is just entirely depleted.
And that specific disconnect is what really fascinates me because I get stuck on that guilt aspect all the time.
Oh,
Like,
absolutely.
I understand on a logical level that my body needs a recovery period, after a grueling week or a really long trip. But the moment I actually lie down on the couch, my brain just starts punishing me.
Running the checklist.
Yes, it starts running through this terrifying checklist of unanswered emails and unfinished projects and chores. My physical limbs feel like they're filled with lead, but my mind is just sprinting. I mean, do the notes actually address how to break that specific loop of mental punishment?
They do, yeah. And they actually identify that exact loop as the primary source of the battery drain.
Wow.
The source material reveals this fascinating mechanism here. Fighting the body's need for rest is actually vastly more draining than the physical fatigue itself.
That makes so much sense.
Right. When your body is demanding recovery and your mind is demanding output, you're creating this massive cognitive dissonance. You're fighting a horizontal war.
A horizontal war. I love that.
Yeah, because you aren't resting, but you aren't working either. You're just kind of suspending yourself in this state of high stress paralysis.
It's exactly like driving a car and resting your left foot heavy on the brake while your right foot is just slamming the gas pedal.
That is the perfect analogy.
Right, like your mind is violently revving the engine, your body has the parking brake engaged, And the resulting mechanical friction is just generating heat and burning out the entire transmission.
Exactly.
You aren't moving forward a single inch, but you're still completely destroying the machine.
And if you want to stop burning out the engine, the notes suggest a complete system override through this concept they call unconditional satisfaction.
Unconditional satisfaction. Yeah.
The mechanism of unconditional satisfaction involves doing things, or, you know, choosing not to do things, because they align with a fundamental sense of meaning. Rather than operating out of panic or obligation or just emotional discord.
Okay, so it's the difference between taking a nap because you finally just collapsed from sheer exhaustion versus taking a nap because you consciously recognize that resting is a meaningful, necessary part of your overall performance cycle.
Precisely. I mean, the notes are explicit here. The author writes, I need to be okay with resting.
Yeah.
Achieving a baseline of true physical recovery requires you to drop the cognitive overhead of guilt entirely. The author acknowledges that it's completely natural to be tired, but you have to actually grant yourself permission to experience that fatigue without layering a massive anxiety spiral on top of it. Removing that guilt is what actually allows the parasympathetic nervous system to take over and really recharge the battery.
Okay, so let's say we actually manage to do that. Yeah. We turn off the guilt app, right? We stop fighting our own bodies.
Yeah.
We get the rest we need, and our physical battery is finally recharged.
Mm-hmm.
The document then pivots to how this baseline recovery translates into our overall presence in the world, our vibe, essentially.
Right, the energy we bring.
Yeah, and this is where the notes completely challenge my assumptions.
Yeah.
Because they redefine what high vibration or good energy actually looks like.
Well, we've been so culturally conditioned to equate high energy with hyperactivity.
Right. If I hear the phrase high vibration, I immediately picture like a highly caffeinated motivational speaker sprinting back and forth across the stage, yelling into one of those headset microphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, I picture that one coworker who is just relentlessly, aggressively enthusiastic at a 7 a.m. meeting.
We all know that coworker.
We all do. It implies being loud and visually animated. But these notes argue the absolute opposite. They specifically state that you, quote, don't need to be all expressive high.
The author deliberately moves away from that frantic definition. Instead, they define being in a state of high vibration as being laid back, calm, relaxed, and serene.
Serene, wow.
Yeah. And the crucial underlying definition they provide for this state is that it is fundamentally the, quote, absence of resistance.
The absence of resistance. You know, stripping all the mystical pop psychology baggage away from the word vibration, that phrase makes it sound like pure physics.
Because it is entirely mechanical, really. Think about the metabolic and psychological cost of high emotion. Even highly positive, expressive emotion like jumping up and down with excitement, that requires burning a massive amount of cellular energy.
Right.
It takes actual work to be that animated all the time. True vibrational freedom, as outlined in the text, is about removing internal friction. When a highly engineered machine is operating at its maximum efficiency, it doesn't rattle. It doesn't shake or make a deafening noise. It just hums quietly. It's perfectly stable.
And the notes provide a very specific diagnostic checklist for what causes that machine to rattle. They explicitly direct the author. They say, don't follow any negative thought process.
Right.
And the culprits they list that create this resistance are guilt, fear, anxiety, annoyance, and frustration.
Look at the common denominator in that list, too. Every single one of those emotions is an argument with reality.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. Guilt is an argument with the past. You're resisting something that already happened. Anxiety and fear are arguments with the future. You're resisting something that hasn't happened yet.
And annoyance is an argument with the present moment.
Exactly. Whenever you engage with those specific thought processes, you are pouring grit straight into the gears of your own energy system. You're opening background apps that instantly start draining your battery. Wait, I have to challenge this premise, though. Because if the definition of a high vibration is purely the absence of resistance, doesn't that run the risk of turning you into a complete doormat?
I was waiting for this question.
Well, yeah. If you never resist anything, if you just accept every annoyance with serene calmness, don't people just walk all over you? At work, at the gym, in your personal life?
That is the pivotal question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the exact trap most people fall into when they try to understand this concept. The absence of resistance does not mean passive submission.
Okay.
It means active energy conservation. The source material actually anticipates this exact pushback by introducing some highly relatable real-world stress tests. because the world will absolutely not accommodate your desire for serenity.
That's definitely not.
And the author documents two specific encounters where the outside world actively tries to drain their battery.
Let's look at the first one, because it's a scenario almost everyone has faced. We can call it the gym test.
The notes describe this situation where the author is in the middle of a workout and someone just gets in their way and takes the exercise machine they're using or planning to use.
It is a textbook territorial intrusion, and it's designed to trigger an immediate hardwired biological response.
Oh, yeah. The author's initial visceral reaction is pure ego and intolerance. The notes state point blank, I'm not going to allow people to get in my way.
You can practically feel the adrenaline spike in that sentence.
You really can. The transmission gears are grinding right there.
But this is where we see the real-time application of neurological reframing. The author actually catches that spike in resistance. They recognize that getting into a territorial dispute over a piece of metal is a massive waste of their internal battery.
Mm-hmm.
So they quickly pivot. The notes indicate a deliberate shift toward needing to be flexible. And the author explicitly labels the entire encounter as a good test.
Labeling it a good test completely changes the chemistry of the situation, doesn't it?
Completely.
Instead of letting some random stranger ruin their entire morning and burn up all their energy, they use the stranger as a practice rep for their own internal flexibility.
Exactly.
The gym stranger isn't blocking the workout. Managing the emotional reaction to the stranger becomes the workout.
That is active energy conservation right there. They didn't become a doormat. They simply refused to hand over the remote control to a stranger.
Right.
But the notes don't stop there. I mean, it's one thing to run that internal diagnostic when a stranger steals your treadmill. The stakes are incredibly low. You'll probably never see that person again.
Yeah, it's true.
But the notes present a much more difficult scenario, a situation where the friction is coming from someone deeply embedded in the author's life.
Yes, the text refers to this as the car situation with Lisa. This isn't just a brief annoyance. It's a lingering, complicated interpersonal conflict regarding how a car was used.
Right.
And the central theme the author identifies here is lack of acceptance.
This is where the concept of vibrational stability gets truly put to the test. The author is clearly harboring resentment over whatever happened with Lisa and the car.
Mm.
The natural, easy response is to spiral into blame. To list all the ways Lisa was wrong, which is basically revving that mental engine while the parking brake is on.
Right, burning up the transmission again.
Exactly. But instead, the author asks themselves a profoundly difficult, interrupting question. How did I invite this?
How did I invite this? Man, that requires an almost uncomfortable level of accountability.
It really does.
When you feel wronged, the very last thing your ego wants to do is look for your own fingerprints on the situation.
It's painful for the ego, absolutely, but it's highly efficient for the personal battery. The notes acknowledge the reality of the situation. It's simply too late to fix the past. The car situation already happened. But looking forward, the author writes a mandate for themselves. They say, I need to take responsibility, I need to be different, and accept them as they are. They realize that demanding Lisa be someone she isn't is just the ultimate form of internal resistance.
And that realization triggers one of the most striking analogies in the entire document.
Yeah.
The author is weighing how much mental space to allocate to this frustration. And they ask themselves, am I going to deal with these paper cuts all day?
Such a great metaphor.
It's a brilliant way to frame the hidden cost of holding on to small resentments. I mean, conflict over a car or a stranger taking your gym machine. These aren't fatal wounds. They're paper cuts.
But as any medical professional will tell you, a paper cut is disproportionately painful because it exposes the nerve endings without actually causing enough damage to trigger the body's natural pain-blocking endorphin.
Exactly. And psychologically, if you let these minor frustrations linger, they will just drain your energy one tiny, agonizing, stinging slice at a time throughout your entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Ruminating on Lisa's behavior is basically opening a massive battery-draining app in the background of your brain.
So the author decides they must find the, quote, path of least resistance. And again, to address your earlier pushback, this is not about rolling over. You can't control Lisa.
Right.
The notes explicitly state, need to recognize people will not be different, and I need to accept them as they are. The author isn't trying to change Lisa's programming. They are force quitting their own resistance to Lisa's programming.
Which brings up this really fascinating concept of environmental control. If you aren't trying to change other people, how do you survive in a room full of chaotic or difficult personalities?
That's the challenge.
Right. And the notes introduce another individual named Homero. And the author writes this incredibly empowering line. They say, I need to be the one to change the energy with Homero and others. I can set the frame.
Setting the frame is basically the mechanics of entrainment.
Entrainment?
Yeah. In physics, entrainment is when two oscillating bodies interact, and the one with the stronger, more stable frequency basically forces the weaker, more chaotic one to synchronize with it.
Oh, wow.
So if you enter a room with genuine, serene calmness, that true absence of resistance, you become the thermostat, not the thermometer.
You dictate the temperature of the room.
Exactly. You don't get dragged down into the chaos. Your stability literally forces the chaos to quiet down.
And the ultimate proof of this entrainment is how the author resolves the Lisa situation internally. They don't just, you know, tolerate her.
No, they go much further.
The notes conclude with this deliberate, calculated psychological shift. Need to think of Lisa as powerful and strong and valuable.
Going from deep resentment over a car to intentionally visualizing the person who frustrated you as powerful and strong and valuable is a massive paradigm shift.
It really is.
It is the ultimate expression of the absence of resistance. By finding objective value in Lisa, the author completely neutralizes their own annoyance. The friction is gone, the transmission cools down.
It perfectly bridges the entire journey of these notes, really. The internal peace the author was desperately trying to establish in the first section, you know, the permission to rest, releasing the cognitive overhead of guilt. That internal stability is the exact fuel required to power the external patience they needed for the gym stranger and for Lisa. You cannot extend grace and acceptance to others if your own internal battery is at, like, 1% because you've been fighting a war against your own need for sleep.
They are inextricably linked. The author actually arrives at a beautiful, sweeping synthesis of all this. They write, all people are helping me to be aware, to bring energy and share energy, to be part of something bigger.
That's amazing.
It is. But they follow that lofty realization with a very grounded, critical warning for anyone trying to put this into practice. They note that to be truly empathetic, quote, you have to feel what you say.
You have to feel what you say. You can't just slap a positive affirmation over a boiling resentment and call it a day.
No, it doesn't work that way.
You can't grit your teeth, fake a smile at Lisa, and pretend the paper cuts don't sting. That's just a different, maybe more deceptive form of resistance.
True empathy and true vibrational stability require an authentic mechanical shift in perspective. You have to genuinely, fundamentally let go of the ego's demand for the other person to be different. You have to accept the reality of the moment without argument.
Well, if you're listening to this and mapping these notes onto your own life, the profound takeaway here is that your daily routine isn't just a calendar of obligations. It is a highly sensitive energy management system.
Absolutely.
Whether you're dealing with the physical heavy lifting of post-travel recovery, or a territorial dispute over a piece of gym equipment, or a complicated miscommunication with a coworker, your internal reaction is the only variable that dictates your peace.
Right.
Are you burning out your transmission by slamming the brakes while revving the engine? Or are you identifying the resistance, accepting the reality of the moment, and consciously choosing the path of least resistance?
It ultimately comes down to running that continuous diagnostic check, recognizing when you are fighting a battle that doesn't actually need to be fought, and giving yourself the profound permission to just step off the battlefield entirely.
Let's leave you with a final thought to ponder today. Something to genuinely examine as you navigate the inevitable friction of your upcoming week.
Okay.
If we fully accept the premise from these notes that annoying situations and deeply difficult people are actually just good tests for our own internal flexibility, it flips our entire worldview upside down.
It really does.
Think about the single person causing you the most frustration or anxiety in your life right now. What if that person isn't an obstacle to your peace at all? What if that person is actually your most valuable, albeit completely unwitting, coach in mastering your own energy? Look at your battery life. Notice which mental apps are silently draining your power. And ask yourself if it's finally time to force quit the resistance.